Blog Talk Radio.
Unexpectedly, as I was telling my homie earlier, I'm dropping unexpectedly like bird shit, but here I am. For those of you who don't know, for those of you who do know, I'm Mr. F the N Word, co-founder of Smooth Drama, and I'm here making it happen. Normally, I have my co-host, Miss 100%, with me, but she's not here yet, but hopefully she'll be in. In the meanwhile, I'm going to bring it to you raw like I always have and always will. First, it's been a long, long, hard road, and I want to hear from y'all. So if you happen to be listening live, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. Once again, 347-826-7435 is the call-in number. I look forward to hearing from you, and holla at your boy. You know, of course, you can catch me on Twitter, Smooth Drama. You can catch me everywhere, Smooth Drama. Just look up Smooth Drama. That's where I'm at. I look forward to hearing from you. If you got anything to say to me, I'm willing to listen. Unless you're talking foolishness, then I'll pretend like I'm listening. But that's a story for another day. In the meanwhile, you know, I got to talk about crazy stories. And I ran across one by Emerson College, who they say they have no real legal cause to protect students from rape because, you know, it's just rape. And why would students need to be protected from rape? I mean, it's one of them things where you try to understand the common sense and why they would even say something foolish like that. We can't protect you from rape. You think that would be a given, that you want to protect people from rape? Now, I understand it. And it's one of my main themes when I came back tonight, is the theme of things that don't make sense, and all of a sudden we're thinking of the not ordinary as ordinary, you know. So now all of a sudden you have things that were spectacular, are they're super spectacular, or things, I said they're wrong. We're looking at things that should be normal, and they're not normal. They're extraordinary now. You know, case in point, we're talking about being protected from rape on the school campus. That's just something customary. It's something that's kind of like a given. You know, ladies will be able to walk to their car. There'll be lights. There'll be security guards. You know, regular stuff like that. I mean, that's to be expected. But see, in the world we live in today, the society we live in, I'll say, that stuff doesn't make sense to folks. So now we have a dilemma in society where you have things that don't make sense, but they're allowed to happen and be said because stupid is in, unfortunately. I hate that stupid is in, but stupid is definitely in. Intelligence is on call, and I don't know what we gonna do to get it back. But here at Smooth Drama, we of course gonna try to make it come back, because intelligence is at a premium. We got to have it. I mean, if we don't have intelligence, what we gonna have? You know, anarchy. Just reality shows every day, all day. And I know most folks are like, man, some of that stuff is funny. I'm like, I guess if hollering at folks and just watching people just sit in their house and talk stupid to each other every day, all day, is exciting, then maybe I missed that joke for every hour that I've accidentally walked around and saw it and made my head hurt for that second. It's almost like listening to the radio. I mean, if you don't know, I'm a hip hop guy to the fullest, and so when I hear this stuff on the radio, it just breaks my heart. I'm hurt. I'm crushed. I don't get it. I'm trying to get it, but I don't get it. You know, you think that you'd be able to get it. But whatever. I'm digressing here. You know, I started off talking about Emerson College, and it's because of a Julian Doherty who sued the school in federal court. You know, she had previously filed a federal complaint against the school, you know, because of how they handled her rape case, you know, and how it exacerbated her depression and, as she called it, post-traumatic stress, which rape does. I mean, we are talking about the violation of your very person. And, you know, the school can protect it, but at the same time, they can't protect you from any and everything, which is why school had to go ahead on and make that announcement, which they shouldn't have had to, but oh well, it happens. You know, but speaking of things that happen, give a shout out to Jason Garnett. Why are we giving a shout out to Jason Garnett? Jason Garnett, I don't know if this is a world record, but it could be. I'm guessing it was a world record for him. Jason Garnett was an individual who, I guess he had a 17-hour erection that he had to be treated for. He went to his job, and, you know, I guess it wasn't a big deal for him. And then around lunchtime, he got concerned, took an ice bath, went for a jog, and was like, it's still a problem. And then he went to a hospital, and he was diagnosed with priapism. It's a rare condition where erections do not subside. It is not caused by sexual desire or stimulation, but if it's untreated, it can permanently damage the penis. And I guess the doctors had to drain 2 pints of blood from him to reduce the pressure. And then when that didn't work, they were forced to inject him with 24 rounds of medication before things started to settle down. I'm like, he didn't think about doing the obvious. I mean, you can't get no better line than, yo, girl, I done had an erection for 17 hours. I mean, is there a line better than that? Is there? 17 hours, he ain't holler at no females? None? Or at least masturbate. Something. I mean, you're not going to waste 17 hours? Man, that's a whole day. A whole day. don't know. 17 hours. It's on. That's all I can say. I look at it like if you wake up and it's a whole hour, that's a sign. For most of us, it's a sign you need to do something about it. If you're not doing nothing about it, well, something's wrong with you. Jason Garnett, I guess he was like, the pain was 10 out of 10. I'm like, well, you could have handled that. I would have handled it much differently. But, you know, that's why they make individuals individuals, and some people are just not built for erections, I guess. That sounds right. You're not built for erection. Oh, anyway, I mean, while I was gone, I know there was a lot of unfortunate things that have happened, and we definitely gonna talk about that tonight. I don't know how many people have died, how many people have been with the domestic violence, which, I mean, it is crazy, because I've heard the arguments from people about the domestic violence, and it's always interesting to hear both sides, both sexes, and you hear the different people's perspectives about everything, and sometimes I wondered, wow, I mean, are we coddling people because of their race? You know, I mean, it's a racist society, so obviously, you know, you'll have some black women that may be like, well, yeah, he shouldn't, you know, I had a coworker who point blank was like, yeah, he shouldn't, and when I say he, I'm talking about Ray Rice, he shouldn't have been suspended indefinitely. He shouldn't have his livelihood taken away from him. To which I say, I mean, I think by now most people have seen the video. When you knock a woman out like that, you have no regard for her safety or anything. I mean, because she's just sitting in the middle of the elevator, skirt all hiked up, drawers hanging out. I mean, she's clearly knocked out in days. And he's like, yeah. I mean, he's just looking at her. Like, yeah, she shouldn't have said what she said, so I knocked out. I mean, at that point, I'm like, if he would have had, like, I guess some kind of contrition, like, hey, you know what? I shouldn't have hit her like that. You know, I lost my temper. And he would have helped her up and took her to the room, then I could have seen having some mercy. But when you spit on her, I mean, he spit on her and gave her the 1-2. Not the two. I mean, he gave her 1-2 hard ones. And he spits on her and just sits there like, yeah, whatever. This is what it is. This is what it's going to be. Hey, that's what she get. And I mean, yeah, she married him. So I guess it wasn't that bad. But still, at the end of the day, you put your hands on your woman. I mean, and you know what this is. I mean, for all the talk about players understanding that they're corporations, and that the world is watching. Obviously, this young man wasn't paying attention to the world watching. He was just out there. And to all the people who were like, well, hey, he got what he deserved. Yeah, he did. And, I mean, I don't know what her motivation was to marry him. And I guess it don't matter. Because she did marry him. I mean, I hope she didn't marry him for the money. That's gone now. I hope it was love. And if it's love, I hope that he's sincerely getting some counseling. Because, I mean, ass whooping like that, I don't know. And on that note, I think that I'm going to go on break. And while I'm on break, I'm going to be thinking about what I can talk about. Well, I'm not thinking about what I can talk about. I'll be talking about Adrian Peterson and a few other little things that have happened that were interesting, to say the least, while I was gone. And on that note, you know me, I'm hardcore, so I gotta play that hardcore. And when I thought of hardcore, I'm thinking Brother Ali, Uncle Sam, goddamn.
Name of this song, Uncle Sam, goddamn. It's a show tune, but the show ain't been written for it yet. We gonna see if Tony Jerome and the band can maybe work this shit out. Straighten me out right quick. Is sacred and proud. Let's do this shit for real. Come on now. Smoke and mirrors, bright and stars. Jonas for the cross in the name of God. Bloodshed, genocide, rape and fraud. Written to the pages of the law, good law. The cold cotton and latchkey child ran away one day and started acting foul. King of where the wild things are, daddy's proud, cause the Roman Empire done passed it down. Imported and tortured the workforce that never healed the wounds or shook the curse off. Not a grown up Goliath nation holding open all distance for the part of David. Can you feel? Nothing can save you. You question the rain, you get rushed in and chained up. Bitch raised, but I must be insane, cause I can't figure a single goddamn way to change. Welcome to the United States, land of the sea, home of the slave. The grand imperial guard, where the dollar is sacred and power is God.
Welcome to the United States, land of the sea, home of the slave, the grand imperial
right. Welcome back to Smooth Drama. That was Brother Ali, Uncle Sam, goddamn. Shout out to my homie Malik Jaja Adenra and my homie Claude. I'm guessing they would appreciate that song a little bit more than most folks. Anyway, now we were talking about, well, I was talking about the culture of inadequacy that makes things that are unusually abnormal seem normal, and the things that should be just regular are hyped up, the dumbing down of society. I mean case in point, Adrian Peterson. He's, those of you don't know, football player for the Minnesota Vikings. He got into a little trouble because he disciplined his kids. Now, I understand that he disciplined his kids and he left scars. And yeah, I know how that goes. I mean, I've seen it happen. I mean, and I've been whooped, you know, as a child. And yeah, there's the argument that, yeah, what he did was just, it was too much. But at the same time, you know, I looked at the whole of it. He's a father disciplining his child. Yeah, he's a football player. He may have been a little bit overzealous. But, you know, obviously, I was of the opinion that his heart was in the right place trying to discipline his child. I mean, that's what parents do. That's what normal parents do, you know. But in him going too far, I think that the cases were different, as opposed to him and what Ray Rice did. I mean, and we're not even talking about all these other cats who played football and have basically, you know, Greg Hardy beating his pregnant wife, the guy from the 49ers whose name is escaping me at this particular point in time, who was Ray McDonald, he domestic dispute beating on his woman. I mean, he's a 4-year-old child. He left marks, but the father disciplined the child. He should counsel him, and maybe you don't discipline your child again. But it wasn't, I don't see it as evil intent, as opposed to, I'm beating my woman because she said something or did something that just pissed me off, and that's it. I think there's a difference. I know some folks will say nah, but there's a difference. But I guess it's all in the semantics of it. I mean, because words have power. Some people don't believe that words have power, but words do have power. And a lot of folks don't believe that. You just listen to the beat of a song. If the beat is nice, they can say anything. But I'm saying that, no, they shouldn't say anything. You know, if they can say anything, you know, you understand that power of words and how people listen and regurgitate that, and it goes on and on and on and on. I mean, I can digress and talk about how words have made people the sheeple that they are today. You know, you take the word, and as Hitler once said, the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. So, for me, I look at cases from the perspective of okay, what's the intent? If the intent was discipline, but he disciplined too much, I think you could work with that. Because you hear a lot of people always complain that fathers aren't around. Well, he's around. And the four-year-old, yeah, he can be talked to. I mean, and as a father, you learn these experiences. I mean, as a cat that's gone through that, you know, it's trial and error. Parenting is definitely not the easiest thing you're going to do in life. It definitely is not. And anybody who says it is obviously don't have kids. Because it can be nerve-wracking, for sure. But it's very rewarding at the same time. You know, shout out to my kid, Clay Creation, if you're listening. If you're not listening, when I see you, I'm going to punch you in the chest. Maybe. When nobody's looking, don't tell nobody. But, that's my point. I mean, because we talk about different things and the interpretation of things. Like, you'll have a mall security guard who killed the young man in Walmart because somebody said, hey, you know, he's got a gun. When it's a BB gun. If somebody else, maybe they don't get shot. But, you know, then you'll have the talking heads get into it. Oh, well, you see, he had the gun. Blah, 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 blah. The point is, and here's where the common sense is missed. Like with Trayvon Martin. This is an unarmed youth. But because society has said, and it's these words that come down, and these words have turned into reality, has said that the young black man is a threat on the level 5, level orange, whatever the hell it is now that's on the terror alert. That folks react to that. So you create the George Zimmermans of the world. You create these hostile police officers who shoot at black targets on the daily. And they don't see human beings. They see evil entities that need to be taken down. And that's why we have what we have. I mean, now part of it also falls to we the people, because we can't not say something, or something's got to happen. We have young men and women being killed. And being told and they're visualizing that their life is worth nothing. They're told that their life is worth nothing on a daily basis. And as adults, we're not telling these kids, empowering them to be more than what society has told them that they are. So what happens? And, you know, society looks at it like this. If you don't think you're valuable, we won't. So if you're going to follow our narrative, we're going to continue to follow our narrative. And the narrative is, hey, you ain't worth shit. That's the narrative. That's what it's been since day one here in America, and it hasn't changed. I mean, people, Obama, president, I mean, it didn't stop Nothing. That didn't stop the violence. The curious point and point that I've always wanted to make, and I've tried to make over and over again. One of my reasons why I've never liked Michael Jordan. I mean, I respect his talent, but as a person, when all those people were shooting each other over Jordan's, all he had to do was issue a statement. Hey, don't kill yourself and each other over my shoes. If he says it, they listen. Because that's how that goes. And conversely, for President Obama, if he would have engaged the people, black people in particular, hey, stop killing each other. You don't think anybody would listen? Somebody would have listened. And that it could have been somebody who could have stopped the chain reaction. And I mean, that's the point. Because people listen to the quote unquote powerful people, the people who are supposedly important in the world. That's just a fact. Now, for me, they're just people. But to other folks, what they say is important. And alas, you have folks who can't function unless they've been told what to do by somebody, somewhere, somehow, some way. And this is where we are. And this is the root cause of why we have this violence. I mean, obviously there's the racist component, but at the end of the day, we still have to govern ourselves. I mean, because I'll be mad at every racist cop that kills a young black man, but I'm mad at every black Klansman that kills a young black man or woman for no reason whatsoever. It's the same thing. I mean, somebody tell me if there's a difference. I don't think there is. I don't think there ever will be a difference. But people don't look at it like that. They don't see the correlation. The words, the actions. I mean, it's just like with a woman. You know, men look at women and say, okay, she's as fine as she thinks she is. And that's what would attract a man. That's what would attract a man. That's just the truth. And that like same energy is what attracts that negativity towards the young black male. You know, society says you're ugly. And I'm not going to say you're ugly. I mean, obviously I'm a black man, but society says we're ugly. Let me rephrase that. Society says we're ugly. We're the degenerates. We're unintelligent, inarticulate. You know, I mean, I was reading somewhere where they were talking about black English and or proper English, and I'm like, look, there's nobody here in America that's speaking proper English because we speak American. If you want proper English, try to sit through some of them shows on BBC. Now, if you can get it all, then you understand proper English. If you don't, then you are speaking American. Gullah, whatever the hell, Ebonics, you want to call it. But here in America, we are not speaking proper English. anybody who says they are lying through their teeth. But that's the perception that, oh, because somebody says it, that's what it is, when the truth is, hell no. You're not speaking English. You're speaking American. And there's a difference. Just like there's a difference in perception. I am a valuable person in society because I should be valued. Not because you subscribe a value to me because I can rhyme some words together or I can cross somebody up and pull up and hit a 30-footer in their face, or I can run a touchdown or throw a spiral 90 yards or something stupid like that. That's what subscribes value to people nowadays. And if you don't have that and you're a certain ethnicity, then it's almost like, so what do you bring to the table? I'm human. And if I'm human is not enough, well, shit. Something's wrong with you. As my man N. Stephen Harris once famously said, it's not me. There's something wrong with them. And if you're one of them people who think that way, that value is ascribed to what entertainment that someone brings to you personally, you've got an issue. I mean, if you want to look at it and try to understand it, if not, if you don't understand it, I'm sorry. I ain't dissing you, but I am. Because you're supposed to understand that everyone is important. I mean, it's like young men shouldn't be not thinking about getting old and planning to enjoy their life, as opposed to being shocked that, damn, I'm 30. I mean, because that's what happens also. Young black men, they don't think they're going to get old. They don't think of, what am I going to do when I'm older and I'm going to enjoy life? It's like, enjoy life. You got to think about those kind of things, but that's the society we're in right now. Those eyes are closed. And in keeping with such, I'm going to go on a break here. I need to drink some water, refuel my batteries for this last segment. And meanwhile, I'm gonna throw on my homies. This is HISD, Houston Independent 5th District, Piano Sunrise. Open your eyes.
Havoc on the industry, goofy, rap TV. You wonder why you can't see me? 'Cause you blind, baby. vein to the fact like food. I see clear with imagery, it's all in the mind. Beautiful scenery, your rhymes. Close your eyes and vibe, piano sunrise.
He's the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hair. Where the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got smooth
drama. Smooth drama.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Mr. F the N Word. That was my homies, HISD, Houston Independent Spit District, Piano Sunrise, Open Your Eyes. That's my favorite cut. You know, actually, I can be honest and say I come on the air just so I can play my own favorite music and then cut, and that'd be it. Anyway, yeah. Speaking of bloodsuckers of the poor, Walmart is targeting the poor with new checking accounts. You can go ahead on to Walmart, get you a checking account. Of course, with that 19.99 interest rate, and they're going to charge you a fee to cash your checks, and then they're going to charge you a fee to open up your account there. You can buy all the Walmart stuff that you want and have your Walmart checking. I mean, would you bank at Walmart? I mean, would you seriously consider banking at Walmart? Yeah. I mean, if people don't understand, it's Walmart. They don't have your best interest at heart. I mean, not that any other bank have your best interest at heart, but still, you know, I wouldn't bank in Walmart. Maybe it's me, but hey, whatever. It's on you. Now, I did see something. that just it was amazing. The human you is the exhibition that was featuring black folks in cages, and they shut it down after protests. But I'm like, who thought that was a good idea? It's like you're sitting around like, hey, let's do the human zoo. We're gonna put black people in there. You know what I mean? Because actually, Norway reopened their human zoo and to remind people about racism. And I'm like, really? This is, it attracted 1.4 million visitors. Half the population of Norway. They said it was exceedingly funny. And the other ones were quoted as saying, it's wonderful that we are white. I mean, and the funny thing about that is there was a history of the human zoo, where they would actually parade black folks in cages, whatnot. And the fact that folks thought that was funny, I mean, it just goes to show you that these things that a lot of folks think don't matter, are inconsequential. But when people state, hey, if you don't know your history, you're bound to commit its mistakes. I mean, they tried to reopen another one. And people protested. But I'm like, who are the, I mean, do you really need to get paid that badly? That you're, because I don't see the what you get out of it. I mean, Exhibit B, there was supposed to be one. Exhibit B was slated to run from September 23rd until the 27th at the London Barbican Center. And, you know, and it was to replicate the human zoo that existed in the 19th and 20th century also, because they did it in Norway and they got 1.4 million people. So they decided in London, well, hey, half the population of Norway, man, if we can get one point, I mean, because you can hear there'll be one person in the room who is like, yeah, I want to do this. I mean, and you may have more than one person. It'd be a few folks who are like, yeah, I want to show the history of this, and I want to educate folks. And then you'll have those other folks that are like, yeah, let's do this because we can make money. And, I mean, we're talking about making money off the suffering of people. And I mean, because that's what that is. I mean, when they have the minstrel shows, that's making money off the people. And people's misery. And you know, what we have now. I ran across, if you don't know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I ran across a bit of information about experiments where certain chemicals in your brain react to fear. And it didn't escape me that we have all these terror threats, every year there's a new group. I mean, it was Al-Qaeda. And they kept killing the number two guy. Then when they got rid of Osama bin Laden, allegedly. I said allegedly, damn it. Because I don't believe that was him. But when they got rid of Osama bin Laden, you had to create a new enemy. So now you got this ISIS crew. Because people got bored with Afghanistan. I mean, because you can only so long Afghanistan, Iraq. So you had to create a new adversary, somebody to bring fear so that you can send some guys over there to get shot up and come over here and get mistreated by the VA and ignored. I mean, that's what it is. Fear. Create those chemicals and you create that never ending cycle of, okay, we're scared, we gotta send some troops. God bless the troops. We love the troops till they come back. And then, you know, you give folks that crocodile, thank you for your service. But hey, whatever. I mean, when you step over them, when they're homeless on the street, which is what happens to a lot of these cats after they've been served their country and they had their brain cells destroyed pretty much. But I digress. You look at when you don't have that fear. I mean, you know, there's always the age old fear of the black man. You know, I'm trying to break into your house, so you gotta have that gun. I mean, now after these shootings in the schools, you have these schools where teachers are arming up. And I'm like, man, I am scared to go to school. And as someone who may potentially work in the school, I mean, it's the scariest thing going. It's like, so we got to be strapped up now? Everybody strapped up? I mean, because when you talk about in the so-called inner city, I mean, all the teachers there are going to have guns when the majority of these shootings are not in the inner city. Hell, the inner city schools are probably the safest schools to be in when it comes to folks showing up and just shooting on campus. Quiet as kept. But you know, you live in that fear induced thing, and I found it very interesting that scientists are experimenting with that. They're experimenting with fear and how it affects you chemically. I mean, it makes you wonder: do they put stuff in the food now? Is your food tampered with? I mean, it's something to be considered. I mean, for example, there's a police officer who he got 2 weeks for killing his dog, the police dog. I mean, it was a big deal. And I'm like, you don't suspend officers for killing black men, but a guy gets suspended 2 weeks without pay for killing the police dog. And look, we know how Americans feel about their dogs. But is the dog more important than the human? I mean, how many black men have been killed? I mean, since I have been on the air. I mean, we have a plethora of young black men that have been taken off the set. I know it sounds like a broken record, but them cats got suspended with pay. I mean, last time I checked, suspended with pay is a vacation. I want to be suspended from work with pay. You can get me every month. I'm cool. If you suspending folks with pay, I'm like, sign me up, champ. I'm all in, coach. What I got to do to get suspended with pay? Again, because if you're an officer, it's like, it's funny, but it's not funny. All I have to do to get suspended with pay is shoot a young black man. If my dog dies, hell, I'm going to jail. But shoot a black man, I'm going on vacation. You know? And funny thing is, there's a story where Mumia Abu-Jamal, former Black Panther and advocate, who was invited to do a commencement speech, and there was some rumblings from police officers about a cop killer is giving a speech at a college. Now, I'm not going to get into all the specifics of the case, of his case in particular, but the majority of us believe that he was framed and that he is, you know, he should be out. But, you know, he's locked up. And they're complaining about a cop killer being allowed to speak. But I'm like, well, you guys get to speak and you kill young black men for no reason whatsoever. I mean, you get to keep your jobs. You're just out there. Well, it was part of the job. It's like the pot calling the kettle black. You both commiserate in pain. Although, may not be the same kind of analogy, but I find it funny. Folks who don't complain about their people in their profession killing young men, but you'll complain about this guy who, I mean, yeah, he was found guilty, but we know in real life what happened to these Black Panthers. It wasn't government set up. That's just plain and simple what it was, the facts. And on that note, thank y'all for listening. Definitely be back next week, harder and stronger. It's your main man, Mr. F the N-Word. This is Smooth Drama, and I'm out.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her head. Where the hell did you get your news from? Together you got smooth drama. Smooth drama.